You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God. Now, Senior Minister, Reverend Carolyn Mathlin.
You know, we're in the third week of working with this book, Everything Belongs, by Richard Rohr, and one of the things that he says is that prayer heals our split from life itself. It heals our emotion. It heals our disconnectedness from the deepest stream. Thus, prayer affirms us at our core. We've been working and sitting and resting into that prayer, that practice of prayer for, and contemplative prayer in particular, for the last couple of weeks, and in particular over this last week, as many of you were affected and probably even evacuated from your homes because of the fires, there's another opportunity to pray, wasn't there? Another opportunity to stay grounded first and foremost in this sense of connection that is really about the healing of any sense of feeling separate. But there's also in that remembering that we are all connected to each other. And I was able to watch, for many of you that I'm friends with or I follow on social media, you all were checking in with each other and saying, are you okay? Where are you? You know, and I was watching this and just was so touched by you all and the power of prayer, the power of willingness to help that I saw. And so for all of you who were affected or and that we don't know, perhaps the, something more than evacuation happened, you know, please let us know. We are here to hold you and be in prayer with you and to also support as we can. But for all of us to really come inside the sense of holding our local community, our Northern California brothers and sisters who are still dealing with the devastation of the fires and the aftermath of it. So there's this sense of really needing and resting into that healing power of prayer that is the truth. So as we begin our service this morning, and I'm going to invite one of our prayer team members, Donna McCullough, to come forward and open us in prayer. I invite you to really hold those in our community, those in the greater community, as well as in Northern California and in the world, all who have been affected by these tragedies over the last couple of months, that they are, we are held in this healing power of prayer. So will you join me in welcoming Donna McCullough, one of our prayer chaplains and prayer team members.
Let's remember that God is everywhere present, including in each and every one of us. Please join me in going within and allowing these words to fill your consciousness. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still be. Amen.
Something's calling me home. A lot of you have had a lot of things about home recently, right? Evacuating home, going back home, wondering if your home is okay. Needing to remember where our roots of home really are, right? Physical home is important. Our spiritual home, our spiritual connection is even more essential. On Monday, I don't know about you, but my Monday didn't turn out as I had planned. I think many of you had the same experience where things started to change and you had to do other things like evacuate. And in my case, I had an evacuated family come to my house. So Patches, the bunny, and his family stayed the night over on Monday night. And I was reminded as, you know, we take what's important with us, right? And I was reminded of my own family pets over the years. And I had totally forgotten as I was reflecting on this, as I was petting Patches the bunny, that I had a pet hermit crab at one point. I had totally spaced that because I'm really not an arachnid, a reptile. That's not my deal. Those are not considered pets for me. And I thought, oh yeah, I don't know what possessed my family, but somehow we had a hermit crab. And I was remembering some of my old science, because you know when you're a kid and you're learning about the world and how it works, and it's kind of cool to have these different types of animals and crustaceans in particular. There's a lot of spiritual metaphor in how they do life and how they grow. And I was reminded of my hermit crab that would go through molting periods. But unlike most other crustaceans, hermit crabs do not get a very thick protective exoskeleton or a shell. So they have to go borrow someone else's home that has been discarded and crawl in. And there's actually, if you have a lot of hermit crabs, they will fight over their perfect shell and home. Is that not a metaphor also? But this molting process is actually really cool because it is how they grow, especially the other types of crustaceans, because this hard shell will at first be perfect and it will fit them properly and it will be the right space for them. And eventually, they will get too big for it. And so then what? They will molt multiple times. So the molting process is the answer to, and then what? What's super fascinating is that there's typically two hormones within a crab that lie waiting for the response to the conditions. So when the outer conditions, especially if it's in an aquarium in someone's home, but even in nature, if the conditions are right for them to molt, if there's enough darkness, if there's enough food and sustenance, if the sand is right, the hormone within their body will release to signal it is time to grow. It is time to molt. If something feels off, there's a hormone in their body that will stop the growth hormone. Isn't that kind of cool? But that can only sustain them for so long before it's just uncomfortable, right? We are all crabs in our own way. Where beyond our conscious mind to stop or control, there are moments in our life where a growth hormone, a spiritual growth hormone, will enter into our system and say, it is time. And that is, I think it's an AA phrase. You either let go or you get dragged. That's one of those moments. What happens in the crustaceans is that they literally, their body starts to pull apart from this hard protective shell that once was perfect for them and is now actually blocking their growth. And they will literally separate themselves. They will literally have to let go in order to millimeter by millimeter inch out of this structure that is no longer serving them. So if you walk on the beach and you see these crab shells, that's what you're seeing. You're seeing a crustacean's growth, the evidence of their growth and process. And we all go through this. This is a beautiful metaphor for our own spiritual work. And the way that Richard Rohr talks about this, in especially chapter 2, but throughout the book, is that he calls it the liminal space. Because when a crab inches out of its shell, what's left? Not much. Hit their guts. There's a soft, paper-thin shell that's forming, but they're left pretty much exposed and vulnerable. This is the part of the liminal space that our ego, that's directed into the predicting and controlling, goes, not for me. But this is the liminal space that we enter into during these growth periods. So what is liminal space? Limen actually comes from the Latin word for threshold, and it basically is about being in some kind of a space in between. And it's meant to wake us up a bit. It's meant to help grow us because it is in between what was working and what will be working. What is the next evolution? What is the next stage of who you are expressing in the world? How you see the world, how you orient to the world. This is the transformation process, and in certain circles, we call this the crucifixion process. This space in the middle is like the tomb, where we just are rendered in the space of I don't know. And typically, there's some kind of a crisis that is developed in this. This an interior crisis, an exterior crisis. There's a bleed through typically in the inner and the outer, right? So what's happening in the inner tends to show up in the outer. There's some kind of a displacement. You know, things used to work. You know you're in the liminal space when. Things used to work, and you're trying desperately to make them work like they used to. You're trying your affirmations, you're trying your tools and techniques, you're going to the places that you used to go to, and something still isn't clicking. That means you're in a liminal space, you're in an in-between time, and it is about letting go, letting be, and allowing the process to unfold. One of the things that Richard Rohr says is that if we exist on the level where we can see how everything belongs, we can trust the flow and we can trust life. The life that is so large and deep and spacious that includes even the opposite. It includes this death, this letting go of what used to be. Sometimes what we can look at these time periods in our life and we can say, all right, well, I had to make a choice. Like last week I talked about this time period of 2004 to 2006 when in my own personal life I was really faced with this, do I stay at Unity of Tustin or do I leave? Because a couple of our key leaders did end up leaving. They were licensed Unity teachers. They had been really instrumental in holding the church while our senior minister at the time, Dr. Marge Britt, was away. And then it came clear that it was time for them to go. And so the question was, do I stay or do I go? What can happen sometimes in these times of transformation is that we think once we've made a decision about something or there's some kind of a finality about it, that means the transformation is over. Anyone ever thought that? Nice try, right? You know, you get your divorce papers are finally signed, and you go, okay, now The divorce is over. That process is complete. Because in our society, you know, we wanna just tie a bow around it and go, okay, done. I'm here to tell you that when those kinds of choices, we make choices or some major event, you know, that's kind of a piece that feels like it might be final, it might be, but typically what it means is that it has set a course for your new life to begin. It is not as much a final transformation as it is the next trajectory. And unlike the crab that develops another hard skin, the more you allow for the transformation work to actually take you, what ends up happening is that there is a capacity to be influenced by the inner and the outer that doesn't create a hard shell, it creates a permeable shell. It creates a shell that is open to the grace and reality of the now, that is beyond our filters. So let's talk about one of the paragraphs in this chapter 3 that I loved. I feel has a lot of juice in it for us, especially in this liminal space in between. And it's the paragraph that talks about, he says, we Christians believe that the crucifixion of Christ, seemingly a moment of utter powerlessness, is actually the moment of greatest power. This recognition is at the core of all spiritual teaching. It is a recognition that dramatically turns one's reality upside down, but with contemplation, this paradox actually and eventually moves from being a dilemma to becoming a choice. Let's unpack that a little bit. We Christians believe that the crucifixion of Christ, seemingly a moment of utter powerlessness, is actually the moment of greatest power. Now, for some of you who have been in New Thought metaphysics for a while, including me, you might have first read that and said, didn't anyone see that? Kind of went, wait a minute, that's not what we teach. So let's unpack this a little bit. In some New Thought, there is a preference toward, and rightfully so, this sense of we are divine beings having a human experience, and our transformation is mostly dependent on our capacity to lay claim to the truth that we know and to see it, hold it in our consciousness, and let it express out into the world. This is where our affirmations come in play, our denials. Denials are about denying what is not true and affirming what is. And this is a critical step in our spiritual evolution, 100%. It is a huge revelation to realize that the thoughts that you're holding in your consciousness end up manifesting in the world. Oh, I might be creating this negative, continuing negative pattern, and I can do something about it. That's a revelation. Can you feel the transformation in that? Can you feel the, oh, there's this sense of I am, through my own power, through my own divine power, co-creating transformation in my life. That is huge. That is one of the gifts of New Thought. And there's more. There's more. And this is where I see that there's an opportunity for New Thought to mature a little. Because the next step is that sometimes it is not about us transforming ourselves. We actually can't. There are times when we can, and there are times when we can't. Try it first, and when you hit your head up against the wall, It's time to know you're in the liminal space. And you'll know you're hitting your head up against the wall, and you know this is not about you co-creating your transformed life, when the things that you do, the affirmations that you say, the meditation technique that you've tried for years and has been so amazing and illuminating, all of a sudden is like ash. It's just not working. Something isn't getting satiated. Something isn't getting filled within you. And you go, what is going on? How is this possible? I have been able to transform and change my life before. Why is it not working now? Because the crucifixion of Christ, a seemingly moment of utter powerlessness, is actually the moment of greatest power. This is where that moment of crucifixion becomes more real than just a symbol, where it is truly time, just like the crab inches out little by little, to let go and let God. You do your work. You keep your side of the street clean. You continue to pray. You continue to do your shadow work. You continue to give, to serve, to be engaged. And know that it is not about you creating the miracle. That's the next layer. And I'll tell you, that's what I ended up needing to do with my own experience in 2004, because there was a point where everything that I had thought and oriented my life around was just gone. There was no plan anymore. And what do you do when there's no plan? You keep showing up, you keep praying, and you keep letting go, and you keep letting God. The choice point is not the end of the transformation. It is the beginning of the next trajectory of your life. One of the anchor points during this time that I want to leave you with that was so powerful for me was this practice of namaste. How many of you are not familiar with namaste? Great. Thank you, yoga. So namaste is a Sanskrit term, and nama means bow, s means I, and ste means you. So literally it's bow me you, or I bow to you. More symbolically, it means the divine in me, or in unity we say the Christ in me, beholds the Christ in you. This sense of this inner recognition of the outer truth of who you are, or that the divine is in me and the divine is in you, inside and outside. And there's typically a symbol, a mudra. A mudra is a hand movement that is also like a prayer, that is a prayer that goes with it, a physical movement to anchor it. And according to some teachings, the left hand of the prayer, namaste, is a representation of the world of form. And the right hand is a representation or a symbol of the unseen world, what is not visible. And when they come together, especially over the heart, which is this continual transmitter and receiver of this love vibration that holds the world together, there's a recognition that the inner and the outer is being transmitted and not seen as anything other than one. They are not separate, they are one. So the divine in me beholds the divine in you from this centered place of oneness that is transmitting and receiving. And this was powerful for me, this reminder that what was happening in the inner was influenced by the outer, and what was happening in the outer was influenced by my inner space. And I started to just totally catch on fire for this new revelation that I was more permeable than I thought I was. My shell wasn't as thick anymore, so I was actually open to being influenced in a new way. Isn't that what we want? influenced by this divine, right? Not influenced by the world in certain ways, but influenced by this divine infilling. And I remember one time I drove up to the gas station and somehow I needed to go inside, and so I gave the guy my card, and I literally like almost, I caught myself, but I almost did namaste to him. I was so in this place of just feeling the inner and the outer, the movement, the openness, and the permeability of this love that is around. And our world is in a liminal space right now. The old ways are not working. We are in crisis points in a variety of different ways. And you can see from the mass consciousness, the race consciousness, there is this desire to retract and contract, and it's not the answer. It will not be the growth opportunity. It will not be the transformational experience that it, at the times these tensions are offering us. And so for individually, for our collective, beginning to hold this influenceability of the inner dimensions and the outer world, where our shell is more permeable, becomes an essential practice. So this week, I encourage you every day to remember namaste. The divine in me beholds the divine in you. Let that influence your life. Let that influence the world that you're in. Stay open. Let that shell develop in a whole new way. God bless you.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.